Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Birds of the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. This is a podcast where we speak everything Eagles, everything Cowboys, everything NFL, NBA, and everything in between, right? Just anything in the world of sports that we feel is appropriate and important to talk about.
Anything that's important, anything that's going on, you know. We got the playoffs coming up. Obviously, got to talk about it.
Yep.
You guys are in, we're out. So.
Yes, sir. Wild card weekend.
Yep.
First one is upon us. But, you know, before we get into that, and I'm sure you got a lot to say about, because there's been a lot of coaching news, you know, today, and it was Black Friday, or Black Monday, I believe is what they call it.
Right.
A lot of coaches got fired. Before we get into Mike McCarthy, though, I need to say something specifically about Gerard Mayo. I did not agree with that firing at all. I feel like NFL teams do not give first-time head coaches enough time to grow and develop and actually build a program that can be successful.
Right.
Like, I don't know what Robert Kraft expected from
to do in 1 year.
That's
with
what I'm
the
saying. Like, what did you expect from Gerard Mayo to do with the roster that Bill Belichick can do nothing with? Really, a roster that Bill Belichick tore down.
Right.
Right. And you left him. You left Gerard Mayo with the scraps.
Scraps, and then they weren't playing for anything all year. And
no.
It's just like, let him build something so they can at least have a chance to see what he can do with a team that he put together, a team with players he likes and the coaches like that fit his coaching style.
Right.
And he just wasn't given that opportunity.
Right. Dude, Gerard Mayo's like one realistic objective goal this season should have been to just make sure Drake May was the guy. And I think they did that because everybody keeps talking glowingly about Drake May, and I've seen him. He looks like he can be the guy eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But like anything else, that would have been just gravy on top, man. I don't know what Robert Kraft expected. I don't know if he thought they were going to get right back to the Super Bowl and just start winning rings and become another dynasty again. I don't know. I just feel like he had super unrealistic expectations for Gerard Mayo. And I'll say this. Some first-time head coaches are warranted in getting fired. Nathaniel Hackett, we all know he literally couldn't hack it. He was horrible. We saw that after the first game.
Yep.
Urban Meyer, literally the worst head coach in NFL history. I don't even think that's up for debate.
Yeah, Cowboys have had some bad coaches.
Did you have somebody kick a punter? Yeah, I don't think so. So those two, they should have got the can. But like Gerard Mayo, come on, man. Like what? Like, why even go through the process of having Bill Belichick vet him, train him, develop him, and then have Bill pass on the torch just to fire him after 1 year? I didn't like that. I'm not a fan of that. Robert Kraft, shame on you.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, man, it's not okay. It's not okay, you know? And I mean, on a deeper level, right, like, that's another black head coach in and out like that.
Right.
Right? We always get the worst jobs, and then we get the first boot, right?
Yeah, it's hard to not wonder if – he wasn't a black coach if he would have got the boot after a single year.
I mean,
with no real shot.
Right, right. I mean, shoot, they're already talking about, you know what they're talking about bringing in, right?
Who?
His former teammate, Mike Vrabel.
Oh, well, yeah, he is. I know he's available.
He's
right
on the
now,
short list for a lot of, he's on the short list for a lot of head coaching gigs. But I don't like how they did that, man. Me personally, I thought that was cheap. Robert Kraft, I don't know what his expectations were for Gerard Mayo. Obviously, they were unrealistic because I don't know what you expected this team to do.
Right.
Drake May's best receiver is Kayshawn Boutte. Do what you will with that.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and get into it because, you know, head coaching vacancies and everything. The Chicago Bears are trying to fill their head coaching vacancy. They requested to interview your head coach,
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, and
that request was denied.
Now, it was denied after a couple of days.
Yeah, they let it sit for a while.
They mulled it over, or maybe they acted like they mulled it over.
And then they denied it today. I literally got the news as I was on my way home from work.
Right.
Had I been standing, I would have fell to my knees in agony. I was not happy about this. I don't understand what they're doing. Because for two reasons, it either means that we're bringing him back, which sucks.
Right.
But even worse, from an aspect of just how it looks, if we don't bring him back after denying teams, I guess not teams, just a team Bears. At this point, but right. denying the team a chance to interview him, that's just a bad look. Who's going to want to coach here if they know even at the time when their job isn't secure, they won't even give them the opportunity to look elsewhere? Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. The optics. Yeah. The optics.
So that's a lose-lose situation. There's no upside to denying the Bears' chance to interview him for their head coaching position. So I disagree with that decision 1,000%, 1,000,000,000%.
I've been, for the
simple fact that, because I don't want Mike McCarthy to be my coach anymore. So if they are denying requests to bring him back, I don't agree with that. So, like I said before, it was a lose-lose situation with that decision.
Right.
And we just got to see what happens, see if they actually do bring him back or fire him, or not fire him.
Not fire him, just don't renew his contract.
Right.
Right, yeah. It's interesting, man, because it's a lot of, you got the Bears head coaching job open, the Colts head coaching job is open, the Raiders now, their head coaching job is open, the Jaguars, the Jets. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anybody? Bears, Jets, Jaguars, Colts, Raiders.
Patriots,
yes. There's six head coaching vacancies, and it's going to be interesting to see, because, a lot of the coordinators that are in the playoffs, they're going to get interviews. I mean, the Lions, they're going to lose Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn for sure. Ben Johnson, we'll see, because he's very, nitpicky about what he wants to, what situation he wants to walk into and everything. There's some talk about Kellen Moore getting interviewed. I don't really see Kellen Moore leaving, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But yeah, man, it's a lot of coaching movement around the league right now. I saw the 49ers, they fired their defensive coordinator, but they plan to possibly keep him on the staff still, so that's going to be interesting.
The Bengals fired their defensive coordinator.
They fired Lou Amarillo. To me, he might have cost Joe Burrow MVP, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, man, there is some movement. Now, I'm going to say this right now, if the Bengals – come next season, man, if the defense is still not up to snuff, at that point, I got to look at Zach Taylor, because you done brought in somebody else and you still not getting the job done. I got to look at you, me personally. But, yeah, man, there's going to be a lot of coaching movement in the league pretty soon. We still don't even know what y'all are going to do.
Right.
It's funny. It kind of feels like y'all are just kind of like waiting to see where all the other pieces fall.
Which is a bad move.
I think that's a bad move. Yeah.
letting everyone else – it's like when people are about to get in the fight and they hit me first.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're just going to lose.
Hit me first.
Yeah, you're just setting yourself up to, start at a disadvantage.
Right.
And that's what we're doing by waiting, letting all these other teams interview coaches, fire their coach just to rip the Band-Aid off so they can start the process of finding a new coach.
Right.
I think all of that plays into it. And just another example of Jerry would rather be –
mismanaging the situation.
Not even just mismanaging, just would rather be in the – in the headlines rather than actually getting stuff done. He wants us to right now be talking about whether or not we're bringing back Mike McCarthy, what we're doing. Why would they deny his request if other teams, if we're not going to bring him back?
Right.
That's
right.
His whole goal.
Bad move.
I just for once want him to think to operate just like the other GMs. It makes me so upset that him and Steven walk around and talk like they are doing things. The things that they're doing that other teams aren't are beneficial to us.
Right.
They cannot they quite literally will criticize teams like the Eagles, like the Rams, for the way they handle the cap and the way they sign free agents, the way they do that.
Amen.
Newsflash, guy, Jerry, Steven, these guys have won a Super Bowl recently. The Rams have won a Super Bowl recently. Yep. And both of these teams are now currently back in the playoffs.
Yep.
After being said, after Jerry and Steven both said, oh, that they would be in, like, they would be, I don't know what they were saying, like they said, Zach, but basically saying after doing what, going all in certain seasons, like especially the Rams,
right,
that it was looked at, the, it wasn't, this wasn't even just Jerry and Steven, it was kind of looked at across the league that everyone was like, that they went all in,
and
that once they did that and they gambled it all for a Super Bowl, it worked out for them, obviously, but that they were going to be in a really, they were going to be in a hole after that, but they really weren't. Nope. They the only reason they've been missing the playoffs recently is for due to injuries.
Right.
Cooper Kupp has missed a lot of time. Yep. Matthew Stafford missed time last season.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Aaron Donald retired. Obviously, right. Greatest, one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time.
Yep. Hands so down.
They haven't been in bad situations due to the reasons Jerry and everyone else thought they would be. So,
like, Les Snead turned that whole thing into like a movement, right? F them picks, and
right? And so it's like to criticize them when they're doing things that are actually attributing to wins,
right?
And success. I don't understand how you can do that.
I guess.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
And I even tweeted this. It's like when interviewers and reporters are in these interviews, it baffles me how they don't ask a follow up question when they say things like that. When they ask about the Cavs and they criticize the Eagles for it or the Rams for it, and it's like, well, hey, just a follow up question here, Jerry. So you don't think that gambling all that would be worth it for a Super Bowl and then continue playoff success?
Right.
You don't think that doing what they're doing is better than what you're doing? Has worked out better for them than what you're doing?
Just right.
That's that question alone. He says that, it's like, don't you? Is it in your opinion? Has what they're doing worked out better for them? Better than what you're doing worked out for your team? Because if he says yes, then I mean, he's just absolutely delusional if he thinks what he's doing has worked out better for the Cowboys.
Right. I mean, in terms of reporters, I mean, we probably know why they don't ask or they don't fire back, because they don't want Jerry to revoke their pass, man. We know what the deal is. That's just how it goes. But yeah, no, it's funny and it's baffling how it's almost like y'all are like gun shy, or like Jerry's gun shy to just say, you know, F them picks, screw it. We'll give it whatever we got to do to make this Super Bowl run. I mean, look. Here's the reality situation, man. Like, it's hard to win one Super Bowl. It's hard to get back, like, to even have a run like that, right? But, I mean, hey, man, you got to be willing to give up whatever it takes.
And I said this on a previous episode. I don't understand how Jerry doesn't see it as, if he were to put together a super team, if he were to bend the cap to where he got, because this will be our next topic, he got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
He got a good, he would have signed Saquon Barkley last season. He
Derrick
did this.
Henry,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Like, he gets the credit for building that team, that Super Bowl winning team.
Right.
I don't understand what he thinks that only winning through the draft is going to do.
Right.
Especially when he doesn't even get credit for our draft. Will McClay is our head of player personnel and draft. Like, the person who, like, is the biggest, like the who has the biggest say in our draft room is Will McClay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, Jerry has the – well, no, not even, because there's been reports about when he wanted Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like – so it's not like Jerry just has, like, the overall veto. I don't think they do it like that in the room.
Right,
so
right.
As far as I know, Will McClay is the brains behind our
scouting
draft
department and everything. Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, we spoke about it before. It's almost like you want to be the smartest guy in the room, or you want to be the guy that does it differently than everybody else. You want to be the trendsetter. You want to buck the trend. You want to go against it. But the problem is, when you want to do that so much, you start to set yourself up and your team and your organization for failure.
And
it's not a good look, man. Look at Dallas right now, man. I mean, we don't know what moves y'all are going to make. We don't even know who y'all's head coach is going to be. But, like, it's like y'all don't want McCarthy, but you do. But you don't want him to interview with somebody else. So I don't know.
In terms of the coach, yeah, we have no clue.
You have no idea.
We have no clue what we're doing there. But in terms of players and what we should do in the draft, and like, there's plenty of ways we can take this team we have and build on it.
Right.
and get us back to where we were the last few years in terms of player personnel and team success. Because like this roster-wise, our team significantly dropped this year. Mm-hmm. So and there's free agents we can sign. There's players in the draft we can get. We are not in a rebuild mode to where it should take multiple seasons.
It's for just us to hard get back though. It's hard to like because again if you don't know who's gonna be leading the ship, it's hard because if y'all sitting around with Mike McCarthy, y'all playing around for like the whole coaching cycle in the off season, and then it's like okay, like if he doesn't know if he's gonna be there. How committed he's going to be to bringing in his players or bringing in the right players, right? Right. Or if you bring in a new guy late. I mean, that's just putting him behind the eight ball immediately. So, I don't know, man. Jerry Jones and the Dallas brass have to figure it out ASAP.
I think it'll get, like, I don't think it won't be until the season's over. Yeah. Like I said, they're going to let the players go.
Who knows? I mean, because I think I saw y'all may have some interest in a Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I've been seeing things about just different coordinators, different players. Like,
right.
I just we won't know what it is until it happens
until the shoe drops.
Because with Jerry, it's not like there's been since we had a coach who did it his way, who was good and had proven success, and Jimmy Johnson. Oh. Jerry ran him out. Yep. The coaching carousel we've had since then. Have been Wade Phillips, I don't think, was much of a yes man. I think he's a pretty good coach, but his time didn't last long here. Mm-hmm. I think Jason Garrett was the ultimate yes man.
Yep.
Definition of middle of the pack coach. Aiden Nate was the epitome of his seasons.
Yep.
I think Mike McCarthy, while I do think he was better than Jason Garrett,
yeah.
I actually, wow, that's like, he did have his middle of the pack was better than.
Than Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett's in terms of because Jason
he went 12-5 what three straight years.
He went 12-5 three straight years. Yep. Jason Garrett was going 8-8 three straight years.
Yep.
But I just saw. Hold on, I gotta find it.
Oh, you said
because it was in terms of Mike McCarthy and Jason Garrett in terms of we know what they did in the regular season.
But in the postseason,
yeah. Well, give me one second. Ah, yes. Here we go. So. Losing seasons as a head Cowboys coach. Mike McCarthy had two. Jason Garrett only had one.
Losing seasons?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I will say Mike McCarthy's both of those losing seasons. Dak Prescott did get hurt. And this season, we had even more injuries than just Dak.
Yeah.
But same thing in Jason Garrett's losing season. Right. To Tony Romo, everyone knows he got hurt plenty of seasons. Yeah. But he was more injury prone than Dak was. Dak's only missed two seasons. Tony Romo missed a few more than that. And even in those seasons, Jason Garrett still didn't have losing seasons.
Right.
And then playoff wins as a Cowboys head coach. Mike McCarthy only had one against Tampa Bay. Jason Garrett had two. Can't think who they were. That's not right now. It was two. And then
very similar.
They got number one seed as a head Cowboys coach. Oh, I know one of Jason Garrett's was against the Seahawks. But that number one seed.
I remember that game.
You said what?
I said, I think I remember that game.
Yeah, that was the.
Was that Russ's rookie year?
No, because that was Dak and them beat the Seahawks.
Dang, I'm trying to remember that year.
It was the year we lost. We beat the Seahawks in first round. We lost to the Rams.
We gave
up like 250 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Those are Dak's losses.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, and then number one seeds as a head Cowboys head coach, Mike McCarthy never was the one seed.
Jason Garrett, obviously,
he got it Dak and Zeke's rookie year as 2016, 13-3,
right,
which was also the best record in Cowboys franchise history. So, I mean, I feel like when you can give Mike McCarthy for credit for the regular season success he had going 12-5 three seasons, but when you look at their postseason success and things like that, it's kind of like. Their time there was pretty equal.
Yeah, I mean, so, dude, it's kind of like, I mean, when you think about another organization, you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, like Mike Tomlin, bro. I mean, you can't tell me he's not on the hot seat a little bit heading into this postseason. Me personally, I just
don't see Mike Tomlin coaching anywhere else.
No.
So,
you know what? I don't know.
I just don't think they're in the best situation. Because I know him, obviously, his role in everything they do is gigantic. He has a lot of say in play and draft picks.
He's a very hands-on coach.
So, but I still don't think the Steelers have the best situation right now. I think Russ is putting them on the right path. Their season was a bit up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs, but they've lost four straight heading into the playoffs. And, me personally, look, I've never been a fan of Arthur Smith. That's their offensive coordinator.
Right.
He was the head coach in Atlanta. He didn't know how to use a tight end then. He had Kyle Pitts. He doesn't know how to use his tight ends now.
Maybe that's just an Atlanta thing, because even this year, they I don't know what they got.
I mean,
they have too many weapons to not be good.
Raheem Morris, I don't know about him either, dog. But, man, when I think about Pittsburgh and I think about Mike Tomlin, I don't know how long you can keep going 500 and making it to the first round of the playoffs and they getting bounced and just being okay with it. You know, the Bengals, they had that same problem with Marvin Lewis, and Marvin Lewis was a good head coach, but they would keep getting bounced in the first round. And at a certain point, you got to ask yourself, how long am I going to keep doing this? How long am I going to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result?
Right.
I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's a bad head coach. Me personally, I got to ask the question. And then honestly, what I think will probably happen this year, because Pittsburgh, unless Arthur Smith has a revelation, they're probably going to get bounced in the first round, wild card weekend, because, dude, I've watched.
Yeah, I don't see them beat the Ravens, obviously.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I've seen it, man. I've watched majority of their last four games to end the season. Their offense is just stagnant now. And part of it is, I guess, Russell Wilson. It's like, he's a deep ball, or he's either throwing it deep or he's not throwing it at all. Like, I don't know why he operates like that, but, like, it is what it is. But, like, dude, when they played their last game against the Bengals? No, it wasn't the Bengals. I forgot who their last game was against. But they were very stagnant. And then the second half, still very
stagnant. Who did they play? Because George Pickens got completely locked down.
I can't remember who. I can't remember who they played, but they started using the middle of the field. They started using Pat Freiermuth, and then they started moving the ball more. It's just, I don't know why Arthur Smith doesn't get Pat Freiermuth involved more. I don't know why he doesn't have Russell.
Yeah, it was Cincinnati.
Was it Cincinnati? Okay.
One catch, 0 yards.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Yep.
That reminds me, I saw something that said he was about, 100 yards away from having 1,000 yards that season, yeah. And then he ended the season, or he was 99 yards away from 1,000 yards this season, or something like that. And he ended the season 100 yards away from.
He just,
you know what I'm saying? Because
George Pickens, he's so talented, but God, dude, he has a lot to learn. He has a lot to learn. And Mike Tomlin, bro, I don't know. Because, I was about to say, it may take George Pickens getting benched. But, you can't even afford to bench him in the playoffs, because he's literally your best receiver. Yeah. But he's got a lot to learn, dude. He's got to mature fast. And Mike Tomlin already said that. But, he's still over here talking all that jazz, not being locked in. Like, dude.
Fighting people. Being engaged in the play because he's trying to fight.
Like, he's a number one talent, but he's a long way from actually being a solidified number one wide receiver in my eyes. But, you mentioned it before. We're going to get into the whole Tyreek Hill and Myles Garrett situations. Because, we're talking about, coaches possibly switching teams, players. Obviously it's about to be the offseason after the playoff run. And trades always happen during the offseason and whatnot. Superstars always want to be on the move. Tyreek Hill's comments post-game. They sounded like he wanted out. He literally said, "I'm out."
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the reports today, that came out earlier today, but he sat down with Dolphins leadership, and he did not request a trade. Apparently, everybody's cool. Everybody feels good. What were your initial thoughts to Tyreek Hill's post-game comments, though?
Obviously, I saw them, and I was surprised. Not completely just shocked. He's a Super Bowl winning wide receiver, and not making the playoffs is probably hard for him.
First year in his career.
So I feel like I understood them then. Their reports immediately came out of, not reports, but like I see odds about the next team he goes to with the Cowboys having the highest, like, we are with every big name free agent who we won't probably sign.
I saw they were talking about him, possibly reuniting in Kansas City, and I don't see that happening. But
I could not see it. I think that if he were to leave, it would be to a place where I feel like he can have a really good what he feels is a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to go anywhere. I feel like anywhere.
Do you think he leaves, though? Like, do you think he ends up getting traded?
Probably not. Not traded. It'd be different if he was a free agent. But yeah. Saying I'm out when you have to be traded to be out is right. A little different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, shoot. I mean, Jimmy Butler's doing that in the NBA right now, which I want to get into that with you later on. But on the flip side of that, you got Myles Garrett. Consummate professional out of Cleveland, right? I mean, I think it's probably safe to say Myles Garrett is probably the Browns' second greatest player of all time, behind Jim Brown.
Jim Brown, yeah.
I think that's a fair statement. Yeah,
for sure.
You know, they were talking to him. I don't know. Did you see his comments?
He basically, because what Tyreek was saying at first was like, oh, wherever, Myles Garrett was basically saying, like, wherever I'm at, I'm glad to be, like.
Yeah, well.
He didn't say he was out. He didn't say he was out.
He just said, yeah. And, I mean, you know, all the reports that was coming out was, you know, saying Myles Garrett, you know, him and his people want to sit down with the Browns brass and, like, see what the plan is before, you know, signing a contract extension, which I totally get. But the flip side of that is if you're Cleveland and you can't convince Myles Garrett to re-up, you might want to, you know, take some calls and see what's actually out there for him so you don't lose him for nothing.
Right.
There's been some talk of him coming to Philly. I'm not even going to entertain that right now. I'm just, you know, the overview of it all. I never thought I'd see Myles Garrett leave Cleveland. He just, you know what I'm saying? He feels like one of those players, like, you don't trade a Myles Garrett.
I mean, I don't see anyone.
You don't,
I feel like it's easier to see him leaving Cleveland than seeing some, like, a big name star stay in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, Cleveland is.
Well, it's just because it's crazy because I thought about this too. I was like, how can you be Cleveland? How can you have Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb when healthy, right? Like, how can you have those two guys, a good old line when healthy? And just, like, not be able to figure it out. Now, granted,
they missed on so many quarterbacks. You've seen the jersey it's like 32 quarterback names.
Well, yeah, specifically, they made literally, I mean, I think it's safe to say the worst trade and contract extension in NFL history.
But that's the thing. They had already been a laughingstock for a decade, for 20 years.
Right, but then they had a sliver of hope with Baker Mayfield, and then they just said no.
They made
the playoffs.
That was the won whole a playoff game with him. Odell situation. Him and Baker didn't get along.
To be honest, that was a bad move trading for Odell in the first place.
I mean, that's just a bad organization.
Well, yeah, it's a bad organization. But yeah, how did you? I mean, I don't know. I guess my thing is just like.
I mean, they were, with all those picks, they were bound to hit on somebody, and it just happened to be Myles Garrett.
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, Myles Garrett was a generational talent. The only way you would have missed on him is if you wouldn't have taken him. Like, that's it. But, I mean, shoot, they got Nick Chubb, you know, coming out of Georgia, and he was very injury prone coming out of Georgia. And when healthy, Nick Chubb is one of the best running backs in football.
Right.
I mean, there's talks he might get cut. You know, the Cleveland, they restructured Deshaun Watson's deal. So it's very likely he's coming back next year. And that's a mistake, too.
Yeah, he's done.
If you're Jimmy Haslam, I don't know how you're not, like, looking at yourself in the mirror and just slapping yourself in the face every day for giving that man that contract.
I don't know what they saw. Like, he was good.
He was really good, but I don't know. You know what I think it was? I think it was two things. I think, one, they saw Deshaun Watson in Houston. They saw him dueling with Patrick Mahomes in Houston. And they thought, okay, like, nah, we're getting that version. And two, I don't think they realized just how detrimental his whole legal situation was and was going to be to his play on the field. Because that man sat out for damn near 2 years.
If Patrick Mahomes left the league right now.
Yeah.
And came back in 2 years.
You don't think he'd be that?
I would be hesitant to be like.
Oh, like to pay him that?
Yeah. And he wasn't even as good as Patrick Mahomes. He was almost.
He was really good. No. Yeah, he was really good, though.
He was just as good as all these other. Like,
he was really
but
good.
But even, like, there's not a single quarterback right now where it's just like, oh, I would just take that risk. to give them the most guaranteed money ever.
Patrick Mahomes should have gotten a fully guaranteed contract from Kansas City, and then the second one should have been Lamar, in my opinion.
He did it, but Patrick did it like
he did a horrible deal. He did a 10-year like
$500 million. There's got to be a reason for it.
Well, yeah, and he keeps like it's money on the back and whatever. He's making money off endorsement. It's almost like the I don't know if you're. I mean, I'm not even a fan of baseball like that, but I do know Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He signed his deal with the Dodgers. Like he.
Oh, it's like 10 years for $1 billion, right?
Well, like. Well, not $1 billion. I think it's like $500 million. But like he backloaded like 75% of it.
I think it was like 800, maybe.
It was something like that. Yeah. But he backloaded like 75% of it. So he's literally only getting like, I mean, like roughly 20% of it.
Not even like hitting their cap or anything.
No. He's getting all that money like later when he's done playing. So I'm sure Patrick Mahomes' deal is something like that. But either way, there's only one quarterback who should have gotten a fully guaranteed contract first, and it should have been Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, it should have been Lamar Jackson to me shortly after. I don't know what possessed Jimmy Haslam to give Deshaun Watson that deal. I guess you're reaping what you sow because you pulled the trigger on that trade.
Right.
You made the deal. You know, reports were out that like not everybody in the Browns organization was like, yeah, let's go get him. We have Baker Mayfield. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah, I don't know. So if you're Myles Garrett, I totally understand it, man. Weigh all your options, see what they're gonna do. I'll be real with you. If you tell me you bring Deshaun Watson back, that's all I need to know. I'm out, bro. I'm out
for sure.
I'm out because if you're not telling me,
we saw that. We saw what that brings.
Yes, and we've seen that movie so many times.
Not good enough.
I'm out because if you're not telling me you're trading up in the draft because I forgot what draft pick they're gonna have. But if you're not trading up to get one of these guys, if you're not trading up to go get a Cam Ward, because I forgot what pick they have exactly.
I don't want any of them. I don't want them to go there because they're good college players.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think it's crazy because I had this debate with a guy on Bleacher Report, and I was like, nah, dude. I don't think like I think if Cleveland, if they it, to me, here's what has to happen: they cut Deshaun. Because ain't no way you could trade him. But I mean, if you could, hey, Andrew Berry, you the best GM on the planet if you can trade Deshaun Watson right now. But if you just get Deshaun Watson out of there, remove that cancer from locker room. I'm not saying he's cancer. I'm just saying the element that he has brought to the Cleveland Browns has been nothing but bad news on the field, off the field. He still has all these cases pending, right? It's just bad energy with him in the locker room.
Yeah.
Remove him from the situation. Remove him from the organization. And bring in somebody new. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a bad head coach. I don't. Look what he did with Baker. I don't think he's a bad head coach. I really don't.
But I just think they've had too many top picks and too many that just didn't pan out for it to be.
They got to find somebody at some point, right? They got to find somebody. They have to find their guy at some point, right?
No, because I don't think it's about the guy. I think the guy could be better. Would have been better elsewhere. I think they are.
Yeah, but
because it's just too many players. For it not, Myles Garrett, like you said, he's a generational guy. He's one of the Nick Chubb also, but he had injured. Like, it is very rare that you, and they always have a top pick. They have winless seasons. For my entire life, the Cleveland Browns have been the worst team in the NFL.
Right. But I'm saying, look, man, eventually at a certain point, they got to find their guy. And I mean, truth be told, they found their guy in Baker Mayfield, who we all thought was a reach at number one, but they found him. They developed him. He took them to their first playoff game in a long time, and he won their first playoff game in a long time. And then you shipped him out for Deshaun Watson. I don't know what that. All I'm saying is, like, they had their guy, and they're going to have to find their guy eventually. So, again, I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a bad head coach. I think you get the right guy in there who actually can play quarterback, and I think they'll be fine, man. I think if they can mess around and get themselves a Cam Ward or, like, a Jalen Milroe, you know, I think they could possibly do something, man. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a bad head coach. I just think, I mean, again, Cleveland – They're a bad franchise trying to get on the right track, right? It's not like y'all, right? Where y'all have the resources, y'all have the infrastructure. You just have an owner who, I don't know. I mean, I'll say doesn't know what he's doing or just doesn't want to put in the work. I don't know how you want to phrase it, but I mean, I don't know.
He's just bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think Cleveland, they just, I mean, because you have to find your guy eventually, right? You can't just, what, I mean, you could, like, sign a Sam Darnold, see how that goes. I don't know, dude. Cleveland is just, they're all over the place. Miles Garrett, I'm praying for you, bro. I feel for you, man. Do what you got to do. Hey, if you want to come to Philly, come, go ahead, dog. I'm just putting it out there. If you want to come, go ahead, but do what's best for you, bro. I totally understand. Did you catch Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, absolutely.
Last game of the season, arguably the most important game of the season.
Yeah, thought it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah, what were your takeaways from watching that? Like, specifically for the Vikings?
That kind of exposed them for their kind of one-dimensional ability on offense. They kind of live by getting, obviously, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison the ball. They kind of panicked when they couldn't really do that. And I think that kind of gave better teams the blueprint on how to beat them. I think the Rams will have a harder time replicating that, but it's not impossible. I think that the Lions would absolutely be able to replicate that if they were to face them tomorrow or right. down the line.
Right.
I definitely want to give a shout out to Meat Roberts for, he did an amazing job. Yeah, Robertson.
Yeah.
Not Roberts. He did an amazing job guarding Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And then had, one of the most amazing quotes I've ever heard. He said, they tried to bury him, but you can't bury him. What comes from the dirt.
Yep,
and so
yep.
I said, that's an amazing quote.
He's going to trademark that.
I just think that the better team won. I had no doubt.
Did you have Detroit winning the game?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I thought, because like I've said before, one of my best friends, Christian, is a Vikings fan, so we've had plenty of debates about the Vikings
right.
and the teams he won. The team he's demanded all year. He doesn't understand why the Vikings aren't getting the respect they deserve. He thinks that they were. Because he was saying that the people, everyone's already just crowned the
writing them off.
The Lions, basically just crowned the Lions as like the better team when they, because they were both fighting for the number one seed, fighting for the best team
in the division,
their division. So mm-hmm. he was like, everyone's just crowned Detroit. And I was like, well, they've already beat y'all. And he was like, oh, they got lucky. They beat us by three. And I was like,
it was a close game.
It was a close game, but it wasn't like it was like a fluke. They got the ball, drove down, and got themselves in field goal range mm-hmm, to win the mm-hmm. game and won the game. And
absolutely.
I've said this before. I think that when you're a team that, whether you're winning or losing, if all your games are close, I feel like that's a team that's more so playing towards its competition, less than a team that's just grinding it out to win. I kind of look at it that way. And I feel like a team that is struggling to put it together, a team that is just getting this squeaking by wins.
Right.
That's not going to cut it when the team is better than you and the team is better coached than you. I don't feel like that's not
that's
the craziest
the word
thing to say.
Right there. No, I that's the word.
That, yeah, I think that obviously we know we've talked about Ben Johnson every day on this on the podcast.
Aaron Glenn is going to be a head coach. He got a head coaching job from Sunday night alone.
I even think Dan Campbell coached a really good game this week that night. So I just think that they were the better team from every aspect.
What's crazy is they were the better team, but they had God knows how many injuries.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy because Aaron Glenn, like, literally all they did was play press man. That's literally all they did, and it rattled Minnesota. Sam Darnold, he couldn't get into a rhythm. Detroit kept getting in their face, like, with, like, third and fourth string backup or a D lineman.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know they had their starting middle linebacker, Alex Anzalone. He came back.
Played a great game too.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
They had their one of their starting rookies, Terrion Arnold. He got hurt.
Yeah.
Detroit had every reason to whittle and just fall away in that game. And they kept the hammer down. They kept pushing it. They kept their foot on Minnesota's necks. And Minnesota, like you said, I think they got exposed a little bit. If you can get pressure on Sam Darnold, if you can really press up on Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, you can make it tough. And it'll make it a long day for them at the office. I'll say this right now, as an Eagles fan, Detroit makes me nervous just because the way they play It's not even about talent for them. It's just the way they play, dude. Like, they come to take your head off.
Say the heart, the grit.
They don't stop. They don't stop. They don't stop. And you know what? I respect
the determination they play with.
Right. The grit they play with, man. I respect it. They're not making no excuses with all the injuries. They coming out and they're playing hard. They're going to bust you in the mouth, and they're going to see if you can take it. Like, legit, that's how they're playing. I respect it. That makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, to me, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but Detroit, to me, is our biggest competition in the NFC. And it'll probably will be us versus them in the NFC Championship game. I know I'm thinking ahead a little bit, but yeah, no, Detroit, man, they are legit. Aaron Glenn, he will be an NFL head coach next year. Maybe he'll go back to his former team, the Saints. I think the Bears were also looking at him. I know a few teams were looking at him. He will be an NFL head coach because that coaching performance he put on Sunday night, that was a masterpiece, man. That man just said, you know what? I don't care who they got on the other side. We're going to press up on them, lock them up, wrap up, tackle, and we're going to win this game. And that's exactly what they went out there and did. They dominated, dude. Like, they dominated from quarter one to quarter four. Dude, they just dominated. Mm-hmm. Minnesota had nothing for them. Kevin O'Connell had nothing for them. And so Minnesota, yes, it's looking tough. I know Dan Campbell said, I don't know if you saw when he met Kevin O'Connell midfield after the game, he was like, I'll see y'all in 2 weeks. You might see him in 2 weeks. I don't know if that's a guarantee, but
right.
Detroit. They make me nervous. I will admit they're not scared. They're not scared of nothing. They don't run from anything. They don't make excuses. They just come out here and bust you in the mouth and see if you can take it. That's how they play, and they make me nervous. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, I agree. I agree with how they play for sure.
Right. Right. But heading into the playoffs, we're speaking on the playoffs now. Obviously, Philly made it in wild card weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We got a rematch with Green Bay coming up in Philly. We don't even know if Jalen Hurts is going to play.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wasn't expecting that,
dude. Oh my god! If Jalen Hurts doesn't play, I mean, anything is up for grabs, man. If Jalen Hurts doesn't play, I mean. I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm still here for Tanner McKee being QB1 if Jalen Hurts for some reason just cannot clear concussion protocol.
You won his second game ever to be a playoff. And that's not even like this will be his first start. Yes. The second game he ever even touched
I'm
the field.
I'm fine with it, dude. I believe in Tanner McKee. He showed it in the finale against the Giants. I believe in Tanner McKee. And Tanner, I trust.
Probably be his third game because he played against the Cowboys.
It'd be his second start. But, yeah. I mean, I know it's not going to happen because Nick Sirianni, they love Kenny Pickett, bro. They love him. And he had, like I said, he had a great moment against y'all. He had a great second quarter against y'all. But aside from that, we've seen the Kenny Pickett show many times.
Right.
Many, many times. Not that big a fan. So, yeah, obviously, that's the huge question mark, right? Is Jalen Hurts going to play? We don't even know if Jordan Love is going to play. He hurt his hand.
Right.
If both starting QBs are out, man, this game is going to be crazy.
Yeah, who knows what will happen. And who's the Packers back of QB?
Malik Willis.
Oh, wow.
He played like serviceable for them when Jordan Love went out.
I actually think he's pretty – I think he's a decent quarterback.
I think Tennessee did him so dirty.
Right.
Shipping him out and then bringing in Will Levis like that.
I agree.
That's crazy. Yeah, no. So, yeah, obviously that's the biggest question mark right now with the game in general, right? Quarterback, who's going to be playing for the Packers, who's going to be starting for the Eagles. And that can dictate a lot of things.
Definitely.
You know, this is, again, it's going to be a rematch from the first game of the season. But this is not the same team we played the first week in Brazil.
Right.
Right? Teams evolve over the course of a season. They still got Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson. He's out with a torn ACL, but they still got, you know, Josh Jacobs, Romeo Dobbs, mm-hmm. Jalen Reed. Oh man, what's the guy's name? His Wicks. I can't remember his first name, but you know, they got a few receivers that can make plays. They don't, you know, the interesting thing about the Packers is their offense. Like it's pretty predicated on Josh Jacobs,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, it's predicated on Josh Jacobs running game, but like they don't have a number one receiver. It's kind of like like it could be a Romeo Doubs night, or it could be a Jalen Reed night, or Jalen Reed, excuse me, or it could be I think De'Avion Wicks. I can't remember the dude's first name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like it's not or Tucker Kraft, their tight end. Like it's never, they don't have a set number one guy. It really depends on what the defense is giving them. And you know, they take advantage of it, whoever's, you know, getting open and getting those looks. So they don't have a set number one receiver, so it's gonna be interesting because they like to spread the ball around a lot. Yeah, dude, I don't even know because, again, Jalen Hurts isn't playing. Everybody's talking about the Eagles. We shouldn't be sweating the Packers and everything. And I'm like, dude, I'm just taking it 1 week at a time. I'm not going to say nothing crazy.
Right.
They played us tough the first week.
For sure, I remember. Right?
They played us tough the first week. Anything can happen. It's the playoffs, man, literally any given Sunday, right? And if Jalen Hurts does not play, I mean –
it'll be a crazy one.
It might be a sad one. That's what it might be. God almighty, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I'm praying he passes concussion protocol. I mean, dude, it's been almost 3 weeks at this point. I mean, if the dude's not passing now, then I'm seriously concerned. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
So, yeah, man, you know, obviously the game plan is probably going to be to lean on Saquon heavy. Especially if Jalen Hurts can't go, lean on Saquon heavy, use the play action. And go from there, man. I mean, you know, we still got two of the top 15 receivers in the NFL. Dallas Goedert just got back from IR. Still got the best O-line in football. Still got the number one defense in football. So, obviously, we'd be leaning on our defense heavy to cause turnovers and give us short fields in that game. We're going to be at home in the link. So, obviously, the fans are going to be rocking. Like everything is in our favor, you know. But, man, if Jalen Hurts can't go, that's a cause for concern. That's a cause of concern for sure.
Understandable.
You know, so, yeah, man, Wild Card Weekend, Wild Wild West. Here we are. Playoffs are here. I'm excited for it. I cannot wait. Don't talk to me. My phone will be on Do Not Disturb come Saturday. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
It'll be interesting to watch as a outsider. Not really having a
You don't have invested interest in this. You just...
I mean, you
do, but, like, you know, your team's not in it, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, it's not so much I have a team. It's not that I want my team to win. It's what I want other teams to lose. The only thing I want my Super Bowl, a perfect Super Bowl for me would be the Rams versus the Chiefs.
Oh, okay, because you changed it from last week.
Well, no. That's not who I think is going to make it. Who I would want to make.
Okay, so that's your pick. You'd want the Rams to play the Chiefs.
Yes.
But you think it's going to be the Lions and the Chiefs.
Yes.
Okay. I see.
I don't want the Lions to make the Super Bowl. I want the Rams to, even though it's a long shot.
You know, I'll say this. Being again, remember, I am from Michigan, so if Philly gets bounced for whatever reason, obviously I'm going all in on Detroit at that point. My ideal Super Bowl? Ooh. Like, do I want a rematch with the Chiefs? Do I want to get back? I want to say yes, but I'm not going to lie to you. I would love to see a Philly versus Baltimore Super Bowl. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Or even Philly versus Buffalo. I think any of those matchups I'd go crazy for. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I mean... Ideally, it don't even matter for me because ideally we're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy at the end. So,
right.
You know, that's all I'm focused on. We got Green Bay this upcoming weekend, man. We're just trying to go 1-0 for the next 3 weeks, man. 1-0. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Yep. 1 week at a time, man. Playoff football is here. NFL playoff football is here. We will be watching it just like y'all are watching it. You will hear our thoughts, our perspectives, our feelings on it.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, I get on here next week, and I'm still happy. If I'm pissed, if I'm mad, if I'm upset, obviously that means Philly got bounced. But that's not going to happen. Yeah, how you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
You feeling good?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to episode 18 of Birds at the Rodeo.
Yep.
I am Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. Please like, comment, subscribe, follow us on TikTok.
Instagram,
Twitter.
You watch us on YouTube.
Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts.
Not Apple Music.
Anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us.
Right.
No excuses. With that being said, peace.
Later.